More than 3 years after state lawmakers and Governor Andrew Cuomo decided the state needed an upstate flood mitigation task force, state lawmakers have approved a bill that would extend the life of the task force. And while you would be correct in assuming that the extension is designed to give the task force more time to complete their work, the complete story of the task force is much more complicated. To help unpack that story, we're joined by Assemblyman Al Sterpy, a Syracuse area Democrat who spearheaded the creation of the task force in 2017 and is carrying the extension bill now in the Assembly. Welcome to the show, Assemblyman.
Thank you. Thanks, David.
So I want to start by understanding what initially led you to push for an upstate flood mitigation task force more than 4 years ago. Was this in response to unique conditions in central New York or the broader issue of flooding that we've seen throughout the Cuomo administration?
I think originally I got involved in flooding in our region here in central New York due to overdevelopment. We have an area in my, it was in my district, the town of Pompey, which is in high elevation. Rains would come, it'd flow through the town of Manlius, and then they would flow down to the town of Cicero, where I live, into Oneida Lake, and flood all the areas around that. And the reason that was happening, there were twofold. One was there's been a tremendous amount of development that's taken place over the last 20 or 25 years. All of those towns have grown. And where there used to be fields and forests and stuff, now there are rooftops and driveways mostly. So there was no way to absorb the water. One of the other things that we really weren't looking at back then was how intense the rains were, that they were actually different than what had come in the past. And by 2017, we had had some pretty severe flooding. It happened in rivers, streams, the canal, all the Great Lakes, and that all of a sudden sort of lit a light bulb. And, you know, I said, you know, we can't keep doing this anymore. Something is different. Something's changed. And we've got to look at it and see what we have to do to prevent this flooding. And, you know, in 2017, I think in 2019 again, there was a severe flooding along Lake Ontario. While we had passed this bill and there was supposed to be this group formed to do this study, things just happened, and instead there were a lot of executive actions taken to, you know, help with the disasters that happened in 2017 and 2019. I mean, actually, in 2019, there was more flooding than in 2017. And then after that, the pandemic hit, and that's why really nothing came out of that originally. And that's why we've reintroduced it, and we are going to make sure that we convene this group. It consists of 9 members, the director of the Canal Corporation, the commissioner of transportation, the director of Homeland Security, the commissioner of the DEC, and then 5 other members, 3 chosen by the governor and 1 each by the speaker and the temporary president of the Senate. But we have to start doing things. And some people say there was no budget because it's supposed to be providing grants. Well, we don't know what we have to do yet because the commission hasn't met yet and given us suggestions. So as soon as we do that, when a budget is coming around, we will present the findings to the commission and say we need X number of dollars to do these things.
Your bill, which has made it through both chambers of the legislature, would essentially just extend the life of the task force until the summer of 2023. You talked about some of the extenuating circumstances that might have contributed to it not being formed since being signed, I think, in November of 2017. Is there any reason to expect that additional time will actually lead to the formation of the task force? Because there's not like there's any sort of stick that you can, you know, beat the governor with, metaphorically, if he doesn't actually convene this.
What I plan on doing now, and, you know, to be honest, I wasn't following the specific commission and the legislation and whether or not it got enacted because I was following all the flooding. We were running around all the time trying to figure out what to do. I mean, I was meeting with Onondaga County Soil and Water, the CNY Land Trust, the DEC here, because I had neighborhoods who were all of a sudden lost their backyards because of flooding. I mean, I had staff members on boats, trying to tear down beaver dams and working with Soil and Water to put other methods in place, like these tubes they used to stick through the beaver dams so water could flow from a higher level down to the lower level. You know, we were kind of busy doing all of that stuff and not paying attention. At this point, I'm paying attention. And if things don't happen, we'll start doing press conferences. We'll start writing stories in the paper. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of local government officials writing to the governor and making statements. We'll keep this in the forefront. And hopefully that will move things along and we will get this commission convened and get some good suggestions out of it.
In 2019, Cuomo vetoed a bill that would have established a flood mitigation and flood prevention task force based on the idea, according to his veto message, that there were all sorts of different other entities that exist that could and should be thinking about the issue of flooding, including the Disaster Preparedness Commission and the Flood Mitigation Task Force within the Canal Corp. So based on that logic, why do we even need an additional task force, this one specifically focused on upstate flooding?
While we have seen, you know, the executive office take some action, provide some grant funding for properties that have been damaged upstate, you know, especially along the Great Lakes over the last few years, we really haven't seen a focus on actions that we should be taking that would prevent flooding happening once again. The fact of the matter is global warming has changed the way the rains come. I mean, they are much more intense now. We go from drought over long periods of time and then torrential rains on which the soil cannot absorb the rain and water runs off and causes flooding. We have to figure out a way to make sure that the properties are going to be protected when this happens again. And it's going to continue to happen. I mean, 100-year storms happen about every 2 years now. And 500-year storms happen, you know, every 5 or 6 years. So we've got to think differently about what we're doing, how we're prepared, and then put some money behind this so that we can prevent this extensive flooding from happening time and time again.
When you think about money behind this issue, how much do you think is a reasonable amount to put aside? And do you envision this as solely something that gets done through the state budget? Or because of the climate change implications, is this something that could, say, be folded into the Climate Action Council and some of the other initiatives that are focusing on climate change?
I think that's where it can come from. I mean, there'll be a bond issue that will...
Oh, that's a good point.
We'll put up, you know, we had this $3 billion bond issue we were going to do for water infrastructure and things like that that got postponed because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now I think that we're in fairly good shape financially. Businesses are coming back. Taxes are coming in, you know, even better than we had anticipated. So I think for the next few years, along with federal help, and you also have to look at the infrastructure program that Washington's looking at now. There are many things that have happened just recently that I believe will provide the funding that's going to be necessary to enact some of the recommendations that will come out of this commission. And, you know, it's not going to be cheap, I don't think. You're talking $100 million or more. But I think that if we want to avoid the loss of property, wildlife and everything else that happens, and we've even had the loss of life, that's an investment that's worth making.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Assemblyman Al Sturpe. Assemblyman, thank you so much for making the time and reflecting on this issue. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.